Welcome to Money Matters with certified financial planner Dave Pezzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Pezzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Pezzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Pezzo.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. I'm Dave Pezzo. Every week I go in and visit with Kevin Miller and have an absolute blast. We're going to go ahead and replay that. It's about 30 minutes every Monday. We'd like to hear your feedback if you enjoy it. If not, let us know. And I'll be talking to you live in about 30 minutes.
And blessed to be a part of your day. Kevin Miller in the morning on Idaho's Talk Station, 580-KIDO. Phone numbers are 580-5436, 580-KIDO, and some conversation happened yesterday on Fox News Sunday, which you can always catch here at 580-KIDO.
Americans, when you look at his ties to Russia, his ties to Vladimir Putin, when they think about his ties to Turkey.
What are you talking about?
Remember, he went to a dinner. Thank you. He went to a dinner for Russia Today and was with Putin, and he was taking money from the Turkish government. These are facts,
yeah.
Laura.
Here's what I think.
There's a lot said by Juan,
but what, you said a team of radicals. This is the kind of stuff that is turn people against Washington, D.C. And these types of lines against true patriots who sacrifice for their country, who are beloved among the men and women in the military, who actually do the heavy lifting for all of us. Mattis, General Mattis, is one of the most beloved Marines of the last 50 years. General Flynn is considered one of the preeminent intelligence experts of our age. So to throw out these lines, a team of radicals, that serves nobody's interest. If you have a substantive disagreement with their approach to fighting terror or their approach to intelligence, that's fine. But these blithe comments, I think, have poisoned political discussion in this country, and I think it's exactly why people despise this city.
There you have it. Boy, Juan Williams taking it on the chin. Joining us now, the throat-clearing Dave Pezzo here at 580-KIDO. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So welcome to one of the slower weeks of the year, this and the week of July 4th, if you will, and I guess three slow weeks of the year. This week, the week between Christmas and New Year's, and July 4th would probably be the slower weeks.
There's not much going on, that's for sure.
Not much at all. I'm surprised you're here. Everybody else, you know, is, not working. Will we see a lot of movement this week?
We could, because we're seeing so much activity from the election. But it also tends to be a very positive week. Holiday weeks tend to be very positive. That's certainly not a guarantee that this week will be up, but the momentum has been positive into this week. And, Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday weeks tend to be positive in the market. So I don't see any reason for this, you know, positive momentum to change.
Now, all of a sudden, you know, before the election, people thought that, you know, Hillary Clinton had to win for the market to stay the same. And when Trump won, it was going to be gloom and doom. And yet the exact opposite has happened. Can you explain that to us? Why? How has that happened? What's the logic there?
Yeah, it's a great question, Kevin. And, of course, you look back at it and you realize here's what people were saying. But you have to understand markets. They're not really saying that Hillary Clinton would be best for the market. They're saying Hillary Clinton is who we assume will win, and we've positioned it here, and we know what to expect with Hillary Clinton, and we like to know what we expect. We don't like disruption.
She's a known commodity.
A known commodity. She's going to come in and do nothing, and we know what we already have, and so we can deal with that. We know what's going on. So the idea that there is no change coming was almost a calming effect in the markets. Now, upon reflection, and it didn't take very many hours upon reflection, as we well know, down 800 at one point overnight, and then by the time the market opens, it's flat, and then it's up 300 for the day. Big shift. Only took a few hours. And then that few hours' time, people kind of went, wait a minute. Okay, so status quo is healthcare imploding, right? Healthcare premiums going up $400, $500 a month for families. We have got a situation where we're barely growing, 1%. Nobody thinks it's going to grow any faster. We've got the highest corporate tax rates in the world. It just isn't that good. On the other hand, maybe we've got a nut. He could be a nut. He might be completely crazy, a guy that tweets at 2 in the morning. But maybe we're willing to take a chance on the guy.
Have you ever tweeted at 2 in the morning?
I have not. I have not. I have not. I haven't.
I ask the good questions here.
You do. That's probably most people haven't. But at any rate, we have somebody that maybe we're not sure what he's going to do. We're not sure what he's going to do with trade, things like that. He's a complete unknown. Now, to the rest of us out there, we're saying, that's what I want as a complete unknown. I want somebody to come in and wreck the Republican Party and wreck the Democratic Party and wreck all of D.C. so we can start over. The bureaucracies are out of control. But really, from Wall Street's perspective, it's simple as this. Wait a minute. Lower taxes, less regulation. I'm not sure what's bad about this. And boom, we take off. So I think that Trump, deservedly, the market said, wait a minute, okay, this is not how we positioned, but it's not bad either.
Dave Petzl joining us, talking about your money here at 580KIDO, host of Money Matters, the Petzl Center, Petzl Financial, Petzl on Facebook and Twitter here as we move along. So what will happen this week? I mean, people will still go to work. We've got oil climbing a little. Your favorite commodity, gold climbing, the dollar kind of fluctuating a little. What do you think?
Kevin, actually, you know, with gold, it's been interesting. It's down $100 an ounce since Trump was elected. And again, because we're talking about a stronger dollar, the idea of stronger dollar, less inflation, that type of thing is a negative to gold. But you're right, other commodities have done better. In particular, we're seeing that in copper and materials, aluminum, things like that, the building things, if you will. Why? Because there is a plan for infrastructure spending, and if we are going to do that, and we probably are to some level, pretty soon, then those commodities are rallying in anticipation of that, but particularly the building companies, you know, Chicago Iron and Steel, things like that, that would be a big part of any kind of infrastructure projects.
Yeah, we take a look at electronics and technology and everything else. What do you think, if anything, the impact of you know, what is it, Black Friday you're going to have? Amazon's already doing it. I mean, Walgreens, I guess if I was looking for, you know, my favorite things that you can get at Walgreens, you know,
Drugs?
my favorite pharmaceuticals or whatever, you know, we can make a lot of jokes there.
Sleeping pill sale. Come on in. Black Friday sleeping pill sale.
Right. They're already starting now. So what does this mean, this annual thing? We had a report from Bloomberg stating that, you know, millennials, the soon-to-be, well, largest age cohort, but as they age into the money demo, they like having Christmas around, beginning around October.
Mm-hmm.
So what does this week or this six-week sprint mean here right after Thanksgiving for the overall economy? Not really impacted by retail, but is everything impacted by it?
Well, it is to a degree, Kevin, because people are out and about. They're going to spend more in restaurants. They're busier, right? If the mall is busy, the restaurants around the mall are busy, too. So people stop and, you know, take a break for lunch or dinner or whatever. And so more that's going on out there is going to be very, very positive. But, Kevin, you're also talking about all this online. Well, people are sitting around their underwear ordering stuff. This is not exactly helping the restaurants out that are out in the city. So, yes, it's a busier time around. People are out shopping. People are out going to parties, having fun, spending a lot more money, whether it's grabbing an extra bottle of wine to take to the, you know, to take to the party or what have you, food, everything all the way around. The grocery stores, everybody's doing well this time of year. So, of course, it is a good time. But spreading it out the way it is, instead of always about Black Friday and everybody goes to the malls, now it just spreads that out over many, many weeks.
Let's go to the phones, and we go to Frank, who has a question for Dave Petzl here at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, good morning, Frank. Good morning, Dave and Kevin.
Oh, I know who this is. You were at Miller's Mission. You were calling out Dave Petzl and saying that you were going to call in. And I said, well, if you're going to call out Dave Petzl, you need to call in at 7:03. You know, Dave, when I'm on location, you come up quite a bit. And Frank was fired up. He's ready to throw some heat at you this morning.
Really? Wow. I don't. What did I do? I'm the optimist. I guess. Does that mean by definition I'm talking to a pessimist? Is that what the? I'm just saying. I'm asking.
No, I'm not a pessimist. I just wanted to pick your brains this morning, Kevin. Thank you for what you did for this community. So, Dave, without further ado, let's jump into it. Hey, Dave, you know, I'm sure you know what a fiat currency is, right?
That's all currencies that are, yes, it's the U.S. dollar, it's all currencies.
I thank you for translating, because I didn't, so you can translate.
No, but a fiat currency, the technical term for a fiat currency is a currency that's basically is backed up by nothing. It's backed up by the promise of the government, which obviously during the past 8 years, we know how much that promise is worth. Basically, it's a currency that's being forced down into the market without any backing. And they're printing money and basically backed up by nothing, by the promise. And that's, and by the way, what do you know the difference between currency and money?
It's backed up by a promise, or it's not backed up by, or not backed up by, you go ahead.
The difference between currency and money is currency is paper, basically backed up by nothing,
mm-hmm.
versus money is something that has intrinsic value unto itself, like gold and precious metals. Currency, no value unto itself, paper. And this is what's been happening. Ever since Richard Nixon, back in 1971, took the U.S. dollar off the gold standard, it's been in a free fall. And it's just going and going, and they're pumping, the Fed, Federal Reserves, are pumping currency into the system to keep the stock market upright and ambulatory. If that stops, stock market, Wall Street casino will come crashing down. Back in 1944, near the end of the World War II, the Allies got together in Bretton Woods in New Hampshire. That's when U.S. dollar, which was the strongest currency at the end of the World War, it went on the gold standard. And that was a system of checks and balances that made the government honest. They could not borrow more than they had the gold reserves. That was checks and balances. Ever since Nixon took it off the gold standard, it's been in a free fall. And, you know, if the current trends keep up, meaning 90-plus million folks out of the labor force, spending recklessly, borrowing recklessly, if these trend keeps up, it's not a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. It's when it's going to crash.
Well, and Frank, let's let Dave jump in here for a second, sir.
Go ahead.
Well, this has been well known for, well, since...
Now you're agreeing with Frank. It's going to crash.
I'm not agreeing with Frank that it's going to crash.
Now, Dave, you seem to be clearing your throat.
I know. I should have, yeah. Anyway, I don't agree. This has been discussed for a very long time, and I don't have any particular bias whether we go back to a gold standard or we don't. But the idea that this has been doom and gloom for quite some time has been, you know, this is 45 years ago. And, in fact, the economy has grown massively. And yes, even after we devalue the dollar, we're all a lot wealthier. That's really the whole point. It doesn't matter how much money it takes to buy any particular goods or services. It only matters if we all, as a society, can afford that. And we are living better than we ever have. So is this a potential problem? Of course it is. So is the gold standard. It's a problem for trade. It's a problem for moving goods and services around the world. All of them have a difficult time. I think the best hope, really long term, for currency isn't Bitcoin, but it is the technology behind Bitcoin that enables it. What do they call it? Chainlink or something? I just lost it. But overall, right now, there has not been a problem with the acceptance that the U.S. dollar is going to continue to be strong enough for trade. It's a global currency. It is a fiat currency, as they all are, unless you are backed by gold. But no, I don't see this as an imminent problem. It's not a reason to stay out of the markets. It hasn't been for the past 45 years. As the Dow, when I started in the industry in 1980, the Dow was at 750. We're at 18,000 now. Nothing else has gone up 20-fold. Gold hasn't. Nothing else has. Nothing is even remotely close. And also, when we talk about gold or any other supposed something of intrinsic value, there isn't any intrinsic value. The only thing that has any real value are chickens and women, because women we like and chickens we eat, and then and the rest of it is all made up by one person over another.
Let's let Frank answer that. The chickens and women, Frank, what do you make of that?
Right. I totally disagree with Dave, respectfully. You mentioned that the economy has grown. massively. I disagree. The growth has been anemic, if anything. And, of course, and the second point I disagree with, Dave, is the fact that you said only chicken and women. No. Gold has intrinsic value unto itself. It is and will always be. Gold is valuable. Doesn't matter what the economy does. When the economy is good, the stock market good, bad, whatever, gold is always is worth its weight in gold. It's gold has intrinsic value unto itself like nothing else. You cannot ever disregard gold. If you have gold, you have money. You have spending power. You have cash power if you have money.
All right, so, Frank, we're going to let you go with that one. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. More Dave Petzl responds next with Kevin Miller on Idaho's Talk Station 580 KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzl on Idaho's Talk Station 580 KIDO. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzl on Idaho's Talk Station 580 KIDO.
Well, my friend Dave Petzl, he's a little angry right now. Better get that unlimited data.
I know. All my data's gone. Who stole my data?
You know, and that's the funny thing, just how, commodities have changed. We want to thank Frank for his phone call. So we'll give you a chance, obviously, to get your final thoughts there with Frank. Frank, very passionate. And like I said, we talked for quite a long time at the Walmart Gearty in Franklin. He donated several turkeys. Thank you for that, Frank. He has a great heart, as do you, Dave Petzl. So when we're talking commodities and the crash, people thought that if Donald Trump were elected, there'd be a crash.
That's exactly right. It is. What people know is never worth knowing, but oftentimes it's even worse than that. What everybody knows is wrong. And so we find that oftentimes, especially in the market, where the general narrative is running a certain direction. And since the press is liberal, did not want Donald Trump to be president, they were fighting against the idea that, wow, a pro-business guy is not going to be good for the market. They jumped all over that. It, of course, isn't true. A pro-business guy is going to be good for the market, and it may be in different ways than people are used to. We may have to renegotiate trade rules and things like that. It may get messy at times. But bottom line, does D.C. function in any capacity well at all? Unless it means we don't do anything and all the fat cats get fatter, that would be good, and it is in some quarters considered to be functioning well. But for most of us out here in flyover country, we think it's time for a change, and we apparently voted that way. So, Kevin, it is a big, big, big change back there, and I'm very excited about it. And business is now excited about Donald Trump, and it didn't take him but a few hours to realize this might be a very good thing.
Ron Paul Jim joins us now for Dave Petzl at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
About your comment about, you know, gold, silver not going up in value, what my understanding is that, that they document every bit of gold and silver that's mined and know exactly how many tons or whatever are above ground. Is that in fact true?
Yeah, I'm sure there's some error you have to have, but yes, we pretty much know all the gold that's been mined for all of history, and it's all still here.
Okay. So what my understanding is that the amount of gold sold on the open market because of the stock trading, GLD and silver, mm-hmm. SLV,
mm-hmm.
has artificially kept the price down because they were supposed to be backed again by the existence of this gold, but more of it is sold than it actually exists. And therefore it keeps the price from going up or following what supply and demand would suggest, because the gold they're selling doesn't exist. It's not sitting in a vault and they're saying, yeah, here's a 10,000 pounds of gold in here, and we're just watching market value on it.
Well,
I think it's actually being sold.
Yeah, it's actually the opposite. When you have incredible demand for something, and again, this is something I've been talking a lot about lately. I think we all have to be careful where we're getting our information. Nobody sets out to get bad information, but oftentimes we do. We get bad information and we actively pursue it because we're still digging into the same negative or why gold's going to the moon websites. And really, if you have more demand because it's easier to buy gold and you have more demand in an ETF, even if it's short term, there's so much demand we can't get enough to put in of the hard stuff to back it. There are limitations. They don't let them go forever without going out and getting the actual gold. That's part of the deal. The GLD must be backed by the actual gold itself. So more demand creates an increase or artificial increase in prices. Even that can't lift gold, right? So we have a huge, huge demand that's real easy. I don't have to lug this stuff around. I have to hire people to guard it. I don't have to find a super secret place to put it. I can actually just trade it on the exchange. That creates tremendous demand that never would be there. A person like me would never do that because I don't want to have gold sitting around my house. It invites invasion. I don't want to have that. And so you just have a circumstance where this can't even get gold to go. So I would say it's the actual opposite of what you're saying.
Well, actually, it didn't explain what I said. If there's more gold being sold on the open market than actually exists because people don't actually have the physical possession of that gold, it's a promissory note, something like our currency. It's a fiat certificate representing what is supposed to be backed by gold. If there is no audit of that resource that is backing it, it is basically what is fractional lending of that gold. They're selling more than exists. And that is exactly the problem of why gold is artificially suppressed, because it can be sold by this imaginary creation of stock that you don't know.
Yeah, Dave, your imaginary creation of stock.
Well, no, really. You don't have any audit of the resource. You yourself said that we know exactly how much gold is above the ground. So the simple equation is how much gold is actually being sold in the open market versus how much we know exists.
All right. Ron, Paul, Jim, thank you. Last word, Dave Pezzo.
Well, okay, so gold, all the gold that we have known in the world will fit inside a baseball diamond. Okay? It all fits inside a baseball diamond. And if you think of it, it's a cube. So basically it fits inside a baseball diamond, so it's like 90 feet by 90 feet. That's it. That's what exists. It's worth billions and billions and billions of dollars. For that amount of money, you can buy most of the farmland, much of the farmland in the United States. You can buy about half of the S&P 500, and you will end up having products, production, stuff that does stuff. Or you can have a big giant brick that produces nothing. You can hire people to guard your gigantic cube, but it will not produce anything. It will not love you.
Let me interrupt you for 2 seconds here.
Okay.
And in 40 seconds or less, can you give me the answer to this one?
I'll try.
Lead story in Politico. Obamacare repeal plan stokes fear of market collapse. Repealing the law without a replacement is likely to spook health insurers who might bolt from the markets prematurely to avoid losses. Your analysis of that statement.
What in the world with our great media, our unbiased media, our scare media these days isn't going to cause a market collapse? I think the sun coming up today to some article somewhere is potentially going to cause a market collapse. It's just another stupid headline, and the answer is it's not going to cause a market collapse. The fact that we use a fiat currency is not going to cause a market collapse, not right away. And if we don't get our deficits under control by $100 trillion or whatever it is, yes, we could have a market collapse. But right now, today, the market's not. It's the same story for 45 years. And the GDP has continued to grow. And although people don't like the growth rate, to say we're not growing is absolutely, well, it's ignorance. It's absolutely not true. We have grown. After inflation, after degradation of the dollar, we've grown massively. Everybody lives better than they did before. It has been a phenomenal economy for the last 45 years. Yes, we have bumps in the road, and yes, we will continue to do so. I don't have a problem if we can figure out a way to go to a gold-backed currency, but acting like gold has some kind of intrinsic value, except that human beings go, ooh, gold, ugh, I want some of that. It doesn't do anything for us. Corporations, farmland, everything else does produce real things and real wealth. Gold does not.
Dave Petzo, that'll have to be the last word. Thank you,
no,
sir.
No, I want to keep going, Kevin. I'm just getting going.
I know. We'll have to wait till Saturday or any time at the Petzo Center or Petzo on Facebook or Twitter.
All right. We'll do it again then.
Stay away from that 2 a.m. tweets.
All right. You too.
You're listening to Kevin Miller on Idaho's Talk Station 580 KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's Talk Station.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and happy Thanksgiving. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving and enjoying a nice long holiday. You know, it's interesting. We're all in this midst of the Black Friday, right? And is it Black Thursday? Is it Friday? And, of course, now it's gone global, which everything American does anyway. I know we're not supposed to think pridefully that way, but it's interesting how so many things emanate from the United States, from our basic freedom, which frees people to do what they want to do, to create, to be artists, to be fantastic artists, to take architecture and take it to another level, to take a cell phone and turn it into an iPhone. All of these things are inherent in freedom, and I think we get lost sometimes in this political struggle of what it is. You know, bigger government, it's more fair, it's more inclusive or not. And of course, government isn't inclusive, it's exclusive. Government ruins everything. But it's not inherently, it's not that people sit around and say, I know, let's create bigger government so we can ruin everything. Nobody would say that, at least not out loud. But that's what happens. And as we look at this election and we're looking forward and we're trying to figure out what sectors or what stocks or, you know, how I'm going to balance my portfolio, I want to just step back and say, wait a minute. I obviously, what happened was astounding. It's just amazing. And I think has the opportunity to change globally. We've seen this movement anyway. We saw a little bit of it with Brexit, right, where there's this pushback of internationalism, if you will, this pushback of central planning about a whole group of really, you know, smarter than everybody else people, so it's okay because they can govern everything really well. And people can't. It's less fair if you do it that way and things like that. And we got that pushback, and we certainly did here in the United States. And what it means to me is a return of creativity to innovation, that pent-up demand for entrepreneurism, where people are just like, you know, if they got out of my way, I would expand this business. If they got out of my way, I would go do this thing over here. I would start this thing that I've been wanting to. And I think there's a real opportunity for us to just absolutely explode out of this funk that we're in. We shall see. It won't be straight up. It's not going to be perfect. But as we look forward rather than behind, one of the things that strikes me, well, forward or behind, is how negative people are. How always negative people are. It's this constant, you know, fear of I don't know, the end of the world, the end of their finances. But it's people, whether it was in the 1970s and early 80s, and then it just kept going. It's in the 90s. It's in 2000. It's today in particular. It's like we get on the internet and we just go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into negative diving. I mean, just why is the world ending? Let me tell you why. I'm going to show you why. Let me give you a whole list of really cool facts that you can share with your friends. Why you have to go buy gold or you know, some new Bitcoin, pet coin, whatever. And we get into this incredible spiral of fear. And it really is crazy when you think about it, because it's never been right. I mean, never. Never, 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 ever. I mean, we have recessions. We have tough periods of time. We have absolutely nutty, crazy, do-nothing presidents like we have now. I mean, it's just do nothing. The only thing we've done is our signature. The only thing we've done is a bunch of executive orders that are being undone, and then we have a healthcare system that is on fire. It's in flames. That's it. The only other thing we've done is the rest of the world is in flames. The Middle East is a complete disaster. In spite of all that, businesses continue. And it doesn't matter if it's Richard Nixon. It doesn't matter if it's Jimmy Carter. The world continues. But the naysayers, they continue too, only they amp it up. Oh, you just don't get it. You just don't get it. You're just like some Pollyanna. You're just some wild-eyed optimist, you crazy person. You don't get how bad it really is. So this Thanksgiving, it's like you look around and you go, wow, wow. I mean, can't we be just like grateful at all? I mean, that we're born in America. We've won the lottery. You're born in America. Bang, you won. Lottery winner. Ding, 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 ding. That's it. It's over. It can't get any better than that. But we find a way to walk around with our chin on the ground, miserable about how bad it is, how bad it's going to be. And that's not to say we don't fight the good fight, and we push back, and we push and push and push and push. And we fight, and we do things like 2016 election. And we say, that's enough. We're going to take a nutty guy that tweets at 2 o'clock in the morning and make him president and see if we can do something different, and the nation will be great. We will do wonderfully. I think we will be, in Donald Trump's words, amazing. That's how bullish I am. And none of the problems have been solved. But as a country, we made a distinct turn. And that's what we keep doing when we go wrong. We keep adjusting. A little course correction here and there. A Jimmy Carter leads to a Ronald Reagan. I don't know what we're going to get with Trump, but it's going to be better than what we had, and it's a real opportunity for change. And I think it's going to be great. But that's really not the point of like now. Okay, so now it's going to be great. It doesn't matter if it's great. The doomsdayers will still say it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And give you a whole laundry list of reasons why it's terrible. It's doesn't end. Doesn't end. If you stacked everything up and told people, okay, what is it you'd like to do? Well, these are the three things. Boom, boom, boom. And you did those three things. It would still be wrong because there'd be three more. coming. Yeah, but we have to this or the end. It's just a state of mind. I believe the world is terrible. Period. No matter what the evidence is, I believe it's going to end. Period. This is not new. I've been doing this for 35 years. When I started, doomsdayers everywhere, and rightfully so, by the way. 20% interest rates, right? Super steep recession. It was bad. But even as we boomed, they didn't go away. They get louder. The more wrong they are, the louder they get. And I think it's important that we think about this as we think about investing, because if we don't, why would you invest? Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Please do give us a call if you prefer, dave@petsofinancial.net. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. I love Thanksgiving. I just absolutely love Thanksgiving. I think it's my dead favorite. I actually, this is a little weird, but I like calling people and letting them know that how thankful I am that they're in my life. And it's one of those things that it just makes for, I don't know. It just is to me, it's a really great holiday. It is back to this, I know, a little prideful here, but it is so uniquely American too, to stop and say, I'm thankful. Thankful about all the blessings we have, which is astounding. I heard this statement the other day, and I loved it. It was, I'm not blessed, I'm favored. And wow, yeah. And we are. We're a favored nation in God's eyes. We clearly are. There's the blessings of all the resources we have and our freedom. It is absolutely astounding. And as we go through elections and we go through all the difficulties and all the noise, and everybody's screaming and yelling to be heard above all the noise, that it just gets pretty loud at times. And it's hard for us really to get a perspective that it is pretty darn good. It really is. And I'm very, very excited, needless to say, about what's coming. And we don't know what's coming, right? We don't know. Is there going to be a trade war that ruins all the multinationals? I get that. I mean, these things you have to be worried about. But I really don't think that Donald Trump's insane or stupid. I don't think so. And so what we have is an amazing opportunity. The guy that came in and wrecked the Republican Party and then totally destroyed the Democratic Party, I'm not sure what isn't good about all that. That just sounds really good to me. And get a fresh look, a new start, a chance to tear down some of these incredibly large, lethargic, life-ruining bureaucracies that we have. It's a really exciting time. And lowering taxes from a business perspective, less regulation. The idea that we are going to become competitive tax-wise for our corporations, it's a very, very big deal. So the market rallying, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. A whole lot of sense. And I know a lot of people like about half the people are nervous, scared, didn't vote this way, and are not looking forward. But I don't think it'll take us long to turn it around, have some pro-growth policies in place, whether it's the first 100 days or what, it'll take time to do everything. I mean, the idea that we're going to change healthcare in the first 100 days, it's a seriously difficult thing. I personally would prefer that they do take their time and get it right. Get it half right. Get it 10% right would be amazingly different than what we have now. At any rate, it's going to be an exciting time, and I think the people who are just continuing to focus on what's wrong, why it isn't going to work, what some economist or budget director or what Negative Nelly said, and just continue to, basically in a way, you know what it is? It's almost like the worshiping. That's what it is. That's what it is. Like worshiping the altar of negativity. It's insane, really. Why would we want to go there? Why do we want the world to end, so to speak? And, of course, nobody says that out loud, but it's that constant drumbeat of what's wrong. So you don't throw up things like, is it Pollyanna? Oh, well, no, everything's fine. It'll all be okay. It's not that. It's that businesses adjust. And for all the people who have been so negative for basically my whole life and prior to that as well, it's a constant negativity that's constantly wrong because we overcome, we change, we grow, and then maybe even some good things happen, like right now, a real opportunity to change things. That's what we've got, and I'm very much most thankful for that for this weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hello, and welcome to a special edition of Money Matters. I always start this hour and I talk about that it's, these are my opinions and my opinions only. And I mean that. This is not just a chance to get all the legal disclosures out of the way. It's a very important point. And it really is the point of this hour. And that is that everybody has opinions. Everyone does. Some of them are really not worth hearing. And we think they are. They're cased in the same type of thought, if you will, that floats around out there. That this economist is saying this or that. And I really, as we think about that, we think about opinions and predictions of the future and what's going to happen. We oftentimes say, I know you can't or it's difficult to talk about the future, but do we really stop to say, why is this opinion always negative that I'm reading? And why are they around for decade after decade that the world is ending, that there's a problem and so on and so forth? Why do I put or spend so much time with that? So I want to talk about that a bit today. In this hour. And then I also wanted to get to some emails that have a little more depth to them, meaning I need to spend some time with them, and we haven't been able to on the show. So I've got a number of emails. And then in particular, for those of you who have some millennials around, we'll talk a little bit about that. How do we get those guys back? How do we speak to them? How do we teach them? It's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing that I've been contemplating for several years now. How do we reach the millennials, reach people that are, if you will, headline oriented. They watch movies. They never read books. There's no depth of thought. Now, that's not an insult. I know that people are, we think deeply. No, we don't, because we don't take time to contemplate. You can't think deeply if you don't take time to contemplate. You can't think deeply if everything you get is from a movie, is from a soundbite, is from a headline. There is no depth. But the most important thing I really want to talk about right now is something that we touch on all the time. Nobody goes about actively pursuing bad information. They don't think that. This is not what I do. I'm actively looking for wrong information.
but we do it. We do. Everything that's reported is negative, biased. Even now, in our presidential election, the New York Times, pretending to be a news information outlet, is so biased in its reporting of the presidential election, and nobody's apologizing for this. Nobody does. Nobody apologizes at NBC, CBS, none of the debate people that ask 10 to 1 tough questions of a Republican and give a complete pass to a known criminal, lying individual who's never done anything in her life except politics. Astounding when you think about it. And nobody's apologizing for this. But this is, what's the point? It's not politics. The point is what we take as information, what we take as getting our facts about what's going on in the world and what's going to happen, come from this. I've got to hurry and catch people's attention, so a scary headline works best. Two, fear sells, totally sells. Way, way easier to sell fear. And selling fear is easier, it's easier to convince people of your opinion from the fear side. You don't have to be right if you come from a fear perspective, a bearish perspective. You don't ever have to be right. You don't have to apologize about being wrong, ever, ever. So the bias is always negative. I have to sell my headlines, to sell my product, to get you into my website, is a negative bias always. Never positive. And nobody apologizes for this, bias. Nobody. It's absolutely amazing to me that actually journalists call themselves journalists instead of biased, bigoted liberals that have a pen. They don't ever call themselves that, but they are. And now we take that into the financial world, and you never have to apologize for being consistently wrong as long as it's a negative opinion. What does that do to us? And there's many of you, I totally get it. I know so many of you. This isn't going to reach. I understand that. As Richard Rohr, a famous author, priest, writes often and talks about often, you can't fix them. If people don't want to be fixed, you can't fix them. If people don't want to hear, they won't. If your answer is, yeah, but, always and never absorbing it, I can't help. And I understand that, but there are many, many people that I can, that will listen. It doesn't mean I know the future. I don't. It doesn't mean that markets aren't going to go bump in the night. They do that. That's called normal. But the idea that we are going to read and we're going to grow from, because this person was a budget director and this person runs the Mint and this person over here has a streamline to George Soros, is absurd. They don't. Or they manage X billions of dollars, so they know the future, and they don't. And so we find this incredible. How do you answer this? We'll get to some of those emails later. What's going to happen on September 30th when the U.S. isn't the world currency anymore? That's what people read on the internet all the time. And yet we think we are pursuing information. We're pursuing knowledge. And once again, I say this, nobody sets out to say, you know what, I'm actively trying to pursue bad information. But we do. Because we don't take time to contemplate. We don't take time to do anything but read our own confirmation bias, what you already believe. The world stinks. We're on the wrong track. Therefore, the market has to be on the wrong track. And we never stop to understand that the market is businesses. Real, vibrant, changing, dynamic businesses that adapt. I certainly am like you. I believe that the United States is definitely on the wrong track, that President Obama is the worst president of my lifetime, far worse than Jimmy Carter, far more long-term damaging, you know, with three times the number of disabled people. How does this go good? These people are now on a lifetime dole. And that's not good for humans, let alone good for our economy. That's not good for those people. They're trapped. It's not how humans are built to work. And the list of ongoing absurdities and giant growing bureaucracies and Obamacare just is just another thing that is going to be so detrimental to our long-term health, our health care, the costs. It's a horrific thing. So you ask, how does the market react? Well, number one, we came off of a terrible situation and a terrible low. Number two, businesses adapt. So I agree with you that this is a bad situation for America, that the bias in the press is terrible. But finding negative stories that go deeper and deeper and deeper into your own fear of it's all going to end, I'm going to run out of money. I wonder if I should be buying gold. Should I just step to the side? Should I wait till the election's over? All of these things we wrap into the country's on the wrong track. Not businesses adapt, and are they adapting? And they are. And they do. So, no, if you choose to stay in that and read all the noise, listen to the talking heads parade around. It's all about the move in oil, all about the move in oil, all about the move in oil. But it's not about that. And you get drawn in and you think like a trader. You know, we can't possibly rally without the financials. And the technicals are really looking terrible right now. All the broken charts, blah, 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 blah. Nonsense. Instead, we need to think about buying businesses. Do I want to own a piece of this magnificent, amazing company that has growing streams of income and growing dividends? Or do I want to hide it under a rock and then hope that God will speak to me when the market is ready to come back in? Because in the meantime, I'm going to sit there and lose money every year to inflation. Our behavior sometimes is so ridiculous. I mean, think about this. People literally spend hours every day reading how the world is going to end. And they've read the same people who call crisis after crisis after crisis after crisis that isn't true. That doesn't come true, I should say. You know, it's amazing to me. We talk about this. We've talked about it before. But what about, remember, in 2009? This is how markets work. There was no, this is really an important point. This is what markets do. You think that there's going to be some kind of a something happen to change the economy, to change the direction of the market. There's not. Something doesn't happen. Markets just stop going up or down almost always. You can have a 9/11 incident. I get that. But what happened in 2009 to change this horrific market where we'd go down 700 points? You'll rally back to only be down 300 in the afternoon, and the next day is the same story. This went on January, February, into the first week in March. And then the market stopped falling, and it went up. Do you know how much it went up, and on what news? It went up on no news, none. The only news you could point to was an ever-increasing unemployment, ever-shrinking GDP. In other words, it was all bad news, all of it. But the market, like it always does, overshoots. It just stopped going down. So if you're looking for that information, that piece of data to put together, that this is the bottom, you didn't get it. And here is what people miss also. The market was then up 45% in 90 days. That's what is normal. In other words, it just shot up. Now, after that 90-day period and 45%, what do you think you would have done? You would have said, oh, the charts were mended? No, you wouldn't have come in. You're still out because the news is bad, and you're burying yourself in the blogs, all the noise, noise, noise. In fact, what you're doing is you're making an active pursuit of wrong information. You're actively pursuing bad info. You don't mean to, but you are. Because nobody would ever say, you know what I'm actively doing? I'm trying to find bad information. I'm trying to make bad decisions. Nobody says that. But we behave like that. You wouldn't have come in because, hey, you're not a dummy. You know what the news is at that time. Adjustable rate mortgages are going to be resetting, and we're going to get another wave of foreclosures. We're going to get crushed. That was the news of the day. That was the intelligent reporting of the day. There's no way with it up 45%, you're going to be stupid and drawn in. So you sit. And then, of course, it keeps going higher. But that's all right. Now we're going to, oh, my gosh, we got to find another thing to write about. Thank goodness we've got the European crisis going on. Greece, part one. Oh, my gosh, Greece with an economy the size of Vermont is going to take down the entire world. I better wait so you don't invest. Greece part two in 11, and then 12, and then twice in 12, and again in 13. And it's not just Greece. It's all over. It's the pigs nations. Do you remember parading around? What was her name? Melody something? Whatever. Doesn't matter. She's gone finally. Thank goodness. She was out on 60 Minutes talking about the municipal bond crisis. You couldn't even own municipal bonds because they were going to default. That was widespread wisdom on the internet. Active pursuit of wrong information. Dig in deeper, deeper, go deeper. What happened? Well, nobody has to apologize because they were trying to be safe, secure. Unlike those bullish, radical weirdos, we are conservative in our thought process. They're just wild gamblers. Remember how hyperinflation was going to destroy us? You know, QE1, QE2, we can't do this. The federal balance sheet is just going crazy. And what happens when the Fed pulls back, you know? You know how interest rates are going to explode? And what, you know what's going to happen when the Chinese get rid of our bonds? We're all going to go into default. They sold $1 trillion of bonds last year. Where did interest rates go? You know, it's just like the Japanese thing. But, you know, it's okay because, again, you're being conservative. You're reading conservative websites, thoughtful, bearish. It's not like those wild gunslingers that think it's going to be okay. I'm thoughtful. I'm making an active pursuit of bad information because I'm smart. We don't mean to. I'm not making fun. I'm really not. I'm making a point. How many of these people, crisis after crisis after crisis that they name, jump on in order to sell their website, sell gold, sell their newsletter? How many of those people said sorry about the keeping you out of the market during the European crisis, part one, two, three, four? How many of them said, well, we really didn't read Greece right? How many of them said, you know, if we had higher oil prices, or oops, now we want lower, no, this can't have a catastrophically lower. How many of them that said it was a catastrophe to have higher, and then it's a catastrophe to have lower? How many, when it wasn't a catastrophe, how many apologies did they make? The federal slowdown, shutdown, excuse me, the sequester, the fiscal cliff, the QE. How many of them do we keep reading through all that? But you see, I've been around for a long time. This isn't new. But what is new is the cheap, free access to stupidity. Maybe that's harsh. The access to noise, to bad information. We just got to stop it, man. We just got to stop it. It's up to you. Because it's all there. But when you click and you read and you get scared and then you take the next step and they know you because the search engines know you, they now feed you more BS because you're willing to read it. You're willing to go there and they know it and you'll buy crap. And so they push it at you. So you never get a good story. You never get any clarity. You're actively pursuing bad information. You don't mean to. We got to be careful of our inputs. All right. Much more coming up, and we're going to get into some emails. I appreciate you putting up with this recording today. Just some things that I really wanted to talk about. We'll be right back after this.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's Talk Station. 580 KITO. Petzo on Idaho's Talk Station. 580 KITO.
Hello and welcome to the special edition of Money Matters. I appreciate this. I once in a while I get something that really is just sits in my mind, in my heart, if you will, and I think about that. I want to just spend some time talking about it. And that's what I'm going to do today. And then also I have a lot of email questions after this relatively short segment here. We'll get into some of those email questions that I want to spend a little more time with that we've gotten in the past few weeks here. So at any rate, it's not fair in my mind. It's not fair to just say, here's what you're doing wrong and you need to stop listening. Well, what does that look like, though? I mean, what should I be listening to, right? So we're talking about here, if you will, the active pursuit of wrong information. We don't mean to do this, but we're driven by fear. You know, again, to kind of recap, we're driven by fear. The websites are driven to sell, and they're selling stuff. It's usually gold in those products, and it's also, you know, fear products, and it's also annuities and stuff like that. But it's also newsletters, you know, how we can navigate this. And how... we're pulled by all this negativity. So what do we do? What should we get our inputs in? First of all, recognize that fear does sell, and the world is biased, and they are pushing a lot of negativity at you. So what you need to do is, in a sense, we have to cleanse our mind. We have to rethink things. Really everything in our life, right? It's almost like, how do you want to start a day? Okay, I would rather start a day trying to be grateful. You know, I don't always wake up happy, but if you think about what you're grateful for in your life as you start a day, you're more likely to feel good in that day, okay? Right? You didn't hang in here for a sermon. I get that, but I think it's an important point. So what kind of input do we get? Do we start our day with, you know, you need to buy, 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 sell, 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 and, you know, and it's all about oil, and it's all about this, it's all about that, and what is QE going to do, and all these things? Or do we slow down and we read and contemplate? Do we think? Do we stop and recognize a lot of this is just purely noise, and we have to start thinking of our investments differently? So do we think about stocks like we think about everything else in our life, or do we think about them as pieces of paper that we should be figuring out if we should buy or sell? Do we think of it? Because nothing else in our life, you would never go into business or buy a business ever in your life, ever, that you wanted to know what the price was the day, the closing price on the day you bought it. You wouldn't care the next week, the next month. You don't need to have it appraised all the time. Only with stocks do we think like that. You would never do that with a building. Oh, my gosh, the cash flow on my building is identical to what it was, but I want to know what the price is at the end of the trading day on downtown property in Boise. I happen to own a building in downtown Boise. I have no idea what it's worth. Weird. I don't have a quote on it every day or once a year. The only time I'd ever do that is if I was trying to sell it. I would then go and get a quote. Or if I was buying. But I don't push a button and figure out what my stupid net worth is every day. That's only what I do with stocks. So you see, we have to start with our own behavior. Are we behaving correctly? No, we don't. We don't think of stocks like anything else in our life, and it's an incredibly important point. So what else do you do? Well, we know what we don't, can't do. So what can we read? What can we think about? What can we get help from? And the answer is, you can generally look at the overall news. But to immerse yourself in this nonstop chatter doesn't help. So the best thing you can do is read good books. Yeah, I know, reading, weird. Or listen to them on tape. It's okay. Stuff that Warren Buffett talks about the long-term nature. Anything John Templeton has written is brilliant. 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 You can listen to podcasts. They're hard to find, but there's a few good ones out there. There really are. And, yeah, we're available on podcasts, too. So if you miss a segment you want to talk about, we're talking about long-term investing and changing your behavior, which I think is the point of what we have to do and to change. We can't be that day-to-day nauseating noise and think clearly. Can't. It just can't. It doesn't help. So find those and think about things deeply and dial it down. Dial the noise down. It isn't helpful. It steers you in the wrong direction. Nobody is trying to actively pursue wrong information. Nobody does that. They don't try to. But almost everybody does it. We got to switch our thinking around. Slow down. And think of investing like everything else. Investing in stocks like we would anything else. You own a piece of a business. That's what you own. Go own that. Don't sit around and think about whether you should, you know, what's going to happen to my business before the election. Or, right? We don't think like that. Only stocks. We're going to take a quick break for Fox News. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO.
Hello and welcome to the special edition of Money Matters. I want to shift gears a little bit. We're going from our, you know, if you will, our active pursuit of wrong information. And I want to get to a few emails that really, I think, take a tremendous amount of they're very interesting and take a little bit more time. And I haven't had a chance to get to those. So I wanted to take some time to really go through those in more detail. Michael writes, I have a reservoir containing a high-quality muni fund. It's yielding just over 3%. There are other funds that use lower-quality municipal bonds and leverage to yield over 5%. Would it be smart to include them, or would they be ill-advised to stretch for yield? Mike, thank you. That's a really good question. And instead of just saying, yes, you'd be ill-advised to stretch, yeah, I think you already know that. But there's more to this question. There are times to stretch, absolutely. And I really want to define this question in two points, okay? First of all, let me just answer the question, then I want to circle back, okay? You have to think of this in terms of, is it the right time to be stretching? I don't think so, because people are stretching for yield, and those municipal bonds that are yielding more are premium priced. And what happens to those bonds as we near maturity? Every single day, they lose price. They lose value because the price is moving back. Let's say some of those bonds are up to 120. Okay, where does a bond price out at maturity or call date? At 100. So over time, those bonds are going to lose nearly 20% of their principal. So if you're making 5, are you really making 5? The answer is, of course not. 5 with erosion of 20% over time isn't 5. It's a lot less than 5. So you have to be careful of the premium. You have to know and dig in and find out on those bonds. If interest rates rise, leverage is a really bad thing to have. Okay? It just impacts the hit you're going to take anyway on the municipal bonds and magnifies it. So can leverage be used? Absolutely. It's just not the right time. Okay? Just not the right time. Now, let me also talk about this from a perspective of risk, if you will. Because a lot of times people only see this as, well, I don't want to risk your 5%. Yes, you do. And this is a really interesting question to me that took me a long, long time to really begin to fully understand. So you get into a lower risk investment that maybe does 6%. That's what it'll do in good times, and you feel okay about that. But what does it do in bad times? So if you get 6, 6, 6, and then you only get 2%, and then 6, or you lose 10, what do you really get overall? See, your overall return, because you're going to go through cycles where the 6 isn't 6. Most of the time it's 6. Most of the time things work out. But when it doesn't and you lose a little bit, you're not getting 6 anymore. So when is it that it's better to stretch? Now, I'll go back a couple of years ago when we had the municipal bond crisis, part 2. Part 1, beautiful thing. Meredith Whitney, I finally thought of her name. Meredith Whitney gets up on stage, on the grand stage, and boy, we're going to sell a lot of newsletters because, man alive, people are going to want my services because I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to yell fire in a crowded theater. And she did. Got herself on 60 Minutes, which, of course, is, you know, great journalism, always. And they got on there and scared the snot out of people that there were going to be trillions of dollars in municipal bond defaults coming. Well, Meredith was wrong. I never heard the apology. I'm sure she has been all over apologizing for all the people that she scared out of one of the best investments over the last several years, municipal bonds. I just didn't hear her apology. That then led into, we did get some news on Puerto Rico and Detroit. Remember? Bad news. Defaults. Maybe. Of course, they didn't. But it was scary. And municipal bonds went down a lot. And the levered municipal bonds went down even more. And finally, in this space called closed-end funds, they went from premiums, because they had such high yields in a stable interest rate environment, kind of made sense, they went to discounts. So the time to stretch, not in hindsight, the time to stretch is into fear. It's hard to do, but that's the time to stretch. And you want to get in higher risk investments. And the other example I will give you is high yield bonds. You don't want high quality bonds. When you get a huge, huge risk premium, a huge spread, you get huge potential returns, is actually lower risk. It's lower risk because most of the time you're right and you're going to get 15% or more returns. You're right. Let's call it 10% better. So you get 10, and you get 10, and you get 10, and then you lose 20, and then you, in a bad, bad time, you're wrong. Or here's the other thing. If you do your homework, and you're at least reasonably right that they are extremely discounted, that's all you need to know, and then the economy does, in fact, get worse, and you were wrong about that, then what you'll find is that the discount might have been more correct, which now means instead of losing money, you're in a break-even phase. Not bad. Not bad. In other words, the discount was so wide that when the bad news did happen, you really didn't lose any money. That's what you want. You don't want price to perfection. So there are times to stretch, okay? Great question, Mike. I appreciate it very much. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I've got a nice long segment, lots of emails to run by you, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO. Station, 580 KITO.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of Money Matters. I've got a few emails that I want to pound through with you all, and I really appreciate all of you who do take the time to tap out an email, and in particular, to call the program when you do, and also to send us comments and things like that, that, you know, when you are about things you want us to talk about. So I would love to hear from you as well, and that's at petsofinancial.com. We also have podcasts there as well as articles and calculators to help you with your own planning. All right, let's go to an email here, and we've got, this is an annuities question. I am preparing to retire, and my financial advisor is recommending putting my money, approximately $1 million, into annuities. You talk about the stock market and not annuities. What is your perspective on annuities? Fair question. Good question. I do talk about annuities, though. Not very favorably, frankly. And we can go, you know, right, you know, there's plenty of opportunities all the time for you to listen to people pimp annuities. They are going to tell you that you can have stock market returns with no risk. And your grandmother knew that, and she didn't get through high school. She doesn't know anything about the stock market, but she does know you can't have that without risk. So do you. You know that. I don't know why people have to go there, but they do. So is there ever a use for annuities? Absolutely there is. Right now, in my opinion, they're so vastly oversold that my initial answer is always no. Absolutely not. Can you use them for tax reasons? Absolutely. And I would not use them very often for any income guarantees. They're getting worse and worse and worse, and all the annuities are pulling back on their guarantees. And if you think you're going to get stock market returns without any risk and without any cost, seriously? What are you smoking? Because it must be some really good stuff. Nobody thinks that. Your children don't think that. You don't think you can get something for nothing. And that's how they're sold. And that's a part of the problem. Now, the other part is this. We're in a very, very low interest rate environment, if you hadn't noticed. Insurance companies have a very difficult time dealing with a low interest rate environment. So the offers on annuities are very poor. Because the assumptions for interest rates are very, very low. And the only thing that matters when you buy a fixed annuity, the only thing that matters is your age and what the interest rates are. That's it. So if you're thinking, well, you know, we're going to get something that has $1,000 a month guarantee, that's also guaranteed to shrink every year to inflation, isn't it? There is no growth. And if you have a life expectancy of 20 or 30 years, and whatever you just thought of in your mind, it's longer than you think. All you have to do is look around. People just don't die of cancer as often as they used to. People just don't die of heart disease as often as they used to. I know the evil, awful pharmaceutical companies and biotech companies overcharge for the drugs that just saved your life. As if that had some kind of a cost, should be free, right? It's astounding what technology has done. And it's longer and longer. So the two things that would mean if I traded my $250,000 for income, what would I get? The two inputs are terrible right now. Interest rates are low, super low, and life expectancies are exploding. So I can't go there with that. Now, let me wrap this up in a further question, because you said your advisor wanted you to put it, meaning all, I took it, or most all, into an annuity. And I would say, okay, what you have here clearly is not a financial advisor. You have an annuity salesman. And they pay big commissions, 7-8%. Not all of them, but most all of them. And if somebody's telling you to buy all of them, I'm sure that's what they have. And I would say, you've got to be kidding me. That's not advice. That's horror. That's not good advice anyway. It's not unbiased advice. It's very biased and it's very terrible. You would never say put all your money in an annuity that's tied up for a zillion years. I think you need a new advisor. Let's go on to some millennial questions because I really wanted to touch on this today. This is from a 20-something. How is it, the millennial generation? And we've talked about, I want to touch on this really because this is an important point. A recent study showed that millennials, where do they get their financial information? And the answer is they don't get it from a financial advisor. They get it from their parents. So I know you don't think your millennials do anything except walk around with their technology, their iPads, and their cell phones, and they play video games. And they do too much of that. And there is no depth of thought. I understand that. They don't read anymore. It's all headlines. It's all movies, right? It's all entertainment. You know, I think about this as a simple book Unbroken. And Unbroken the movie. Both good. And totally incomplete when you watch the movie. Because to me, it was all about, the amazing part of the story was the redemption of a human being. His life is completely changed, and the movie completely ignores it. Because there isn't enough time, there isn't any depth of thought, and that's how they think. So how do we reach them? You do. They listen to you. I know it's remarkable. So all of those bad habits you have, they have too. All those good habits you have, they're going to get them. So it is an important point. And I'm thinking, if you have some ideas, I want to know how to reach them. Not because they're good potential clients, because they're not. But they need to be taught. We need to reach them. So if you have some ideas, I'm open, so I'd love to hear from you. But here are some thoughts, okay? How are you supposed to get started saving and investing when you're still accruing more student loans? What a great question. When do you start? When do you make that shift? And the answer, of course, is if you're going to school, we're not going to be able to save more than a little rainy day fund. We can't put away for our future yet because all we're doing is any money we make excess needs to go towards education so the loans aren't bigger. I get that. So the answer is you can't for that now, but you have to have some savings set aside so when the tires on the car wear out, and they will, when Christmas comes and you need to buy a gift or two, you can, and it's not on debt. So we need to save, but investing is going to be put aside right now. I hate to say that, but it's true.